And we continue at 107 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk across the glass.
John, anytime I need to crack a smile, I just open up our email bag at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. Patty writes in, subject line Gascon. Hey, John and Randy, you know who Gascon sounds like? Kermit the Frog. Sorry, Kermit, we love you. We would also like to apologize to Bert and Ernie.
Oh, yes. Well, this is Pride Month. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number. 1-800-222-5222. It is our pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is a deputy district attorney here in Los Angeles County. He's also with the Recall DA George Gascon campaign, and we just have a short period of time to turn those signatures in. So if you haven't done it yet, you can get all the information online at recalldageorgegascon.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan Hatami. John Hatami, welcome to the show.
John, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for stopping by. Now, first, let's start out with an update on the recall campaign. Where do we stand right now? And if people haven't signed the petition yet but want to, how can they do it so they can make sure that it counts?
So the last day that we want to accept signatures is June the 30th, which is this Thursday. And so we don't want any more signatures being sent in through the mail because we may not get them in time. The day that we have to turn in all the signatures to the registrar's office in Norwalk is July the 6th. So we've set a deadline of June the 30th for any more signatures. We are going to do a signature event at Lowe's and Costco in Pacoima on Thursday at 13500 Paxton Street between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. So if anybody wants to come by at that time on Thursday, they can drop off their signatures if they've signed them. They can drop off their sheets. They can come there and they can sign the recall, and we'll make sure that their signature counts. So this Thursday between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m., at 13500 Paxton Street in Pacoima by the Lowe's and Costco. We'll be there and ready to go. You can also, you know, go to many other locations that the recall group has set up to turn in signatures, but our last event is going to be that last day, which is June the 30th. So anybody can come by Lowe's and Costco between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. Come down and either sign the petition or turn in your petitions, and we'll make sure that they count.
After months and months and months of ignoring the media here in Southern California, Gascon has been told by some advisor that he needs to start putting himself out there. He needs to start doing interviews. And he's sitting down for interviews with what he perceives to be friendly outlets. And even though he's sitting down with friendly outlets, everything is crash and burn. Whether it's Community College Radio or KTLA Channel 5, it doesn't matter. The outcome is the same. And clearly someone gave him the note that people are of the belief, correctly so, that he is soft on crime. So what he's doing is he is repeating over and over and over again that he was a police officer. It doesn't matter what the question is. The answer involves the phrase, I was a police officer for years and years and years. In fact, we have a clip. Let's listen.
I was a police officer for over 30 years. I know how to keep communities safe.
What do you make of that change in strategy? And do you think anyone's going to buy that?
I don't think anyone's going to buy that. He doesn't know how to keep communities safe. I think everybody needs to think back to when he first got into office on December the 7th, 2020. He instituted zero bail for many crimes, including child abuse and domestic violence. He got rid of all of strikes. He got rid of all enhancements, including enhancements involving gun violence and enhancements involving hate crimes. He forbade anybody from going to parole hearings. All of these policies that he implemented were retroactive. He implemented so many horrible policies and directives on day one, and he could care less about the safety of our community. And in these 18 months, we have a 15-year high in homicides. We have rampant smash-and-grab burglaries. We have rampant follow-home robberies. We have the murder of innocent police officers. We have cases where individuals are running over babies and they're only getting 5 months, or they're seriously molesting 10-year-old girls, and they're only getting a little bit of time in a juvenile camp or juvenile facility. In addition to that, John, I think everybody needs to look back to December the 7th, 2020. George Gascon and his team were high-fiving individuals. They were laughing. They were tweeting. They were acting like they just won a sporting event. And they were talking about how they were going to release thousands of criminals into our community. So I can care less if George Gascon was a police officer or not. He has failed to keep this community safe. Homicides, 33.9% increase since he's taken office. Robberies, 17.7% increase since he's taken office. Aggravated assaults, 18.8% increase since he's taken office. Burglaries, 5.6% increase. Grand theft autos, 34.7% increase. And gun violence, 64.5% increase. And, you know, George Gascon supported defunding the police. So he claims that he's a police officer, and he doesn't even care about his fellow police officers. Arrests are down 20.8%. He supported defunding the police. He supported defunding police in Metro. He supported defunding the police in schools. And so George Gascon does not care about you. He does not care about me. He does not care about families. He does not care about children. He doesn't care about anybody but himself.
One of the things that you have to do as prosecutors is you have to manage victims. You have to help them understand the system. You have to try to seek justice and make sure that their tormentors are brought to justice. And I'm sure at times you have to be a shoulder to cry on. When George Gascon gave his press conference to try to, quote, air the facts associated with the murder of two El Monte police officers, when he left the podium, he was asked by Fox News' Matt Finn if he had a message for the family members of the slain officers, and he just zipped his lips and walked out of the room and ignored the question and wouldn't address it. Subsequently, he's attacked anyone who suggested that the LADA's office would be paying for the funeral for the cop killer. Now, his written policy, his published and written policy, is that if any individual is killed by a police officer in L.A. County, regardless of the circumstances, the taxpayers of Los Angeles County will foot the bill for the individual's funeral expenses. Now, as it turns out in this case, it looks like the guy turned the gun on himself, so it wasn't police officers that killed him, so he's going to get out of it on a technicality. But if the L.A. County Sheriff's Department or the El Monte Police Department shot and killed this guy after he shot and killed two police officers, the policy says the taxpayers would have paid for the funeral. What do you make of how he's treated the victims' families in that case?
I mean, George Gascon is a disgrace. He's an absolute disgrace. He's unbecoming of an elected district attorney here in Los Angeles. To not address and talk about those families of Michael and Joseph, to not show some empathy for families of two young police officers who were dads, who were husbands, who were loved in their community and loved here in Los Angeles and were just doing their job.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free. See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's horrible. It really is a disgrace for the elected DA. You know, his statements, John, are pretty much a slap in the face to the families of Michael and Joseph, a slap in the face to all of his partners, all of the partners who have to go to work every day, and they don't see Michael anymore. They don't see Joseph. They just see an empty chair. They're not there anymore. It's a slap in the face to all of the families of individuals who have lost children, who have lost brothers and sisters. He could care less. When he came into office, he told everyone that murderers were going to be treated like victims, rapists were going to be treated like victims. He's cared more about murderers and rapists. When he made that press conference, you need to look at how many times he talked about the murderer of Michael and Joseph. He wouldn't even mention the names of the two police officers, but he kept talking about the murderer of Michael and Joseph and how this individual was addicted to drugs and how we felt so bad for this individual, and then how he minimized all this individual's crimes. People need to look at this too, John. That strike that was alleged, he removed that based upon his blanket policy. There was no discussion regarding if this individual was violent or not. He automatically removed the strike on that case. And then he decided to give that individual probation. Somebody who had a very long record of being arrested in 2009 for a felony and going to prison, arrested in 2011 for a felony and going to prison, numerous misdemeanors, about 10 in a 10-year period, 5 violations of probation, 10 violations of parole, and then, you know, domestic violence, and then being picked up for having a gun, methamphetamine, and ammunition. This wasn't an individual who was not violent. This was a gang member with a gun who had committed numerous crimes over the years, who had committed numerous probation and parole violations, who was violent. And so George can care less about victims. He can care less about survivors or children or families. We've all seen it. He cares only about the criminals and bad people in our society, and we need to get rid of this guy.
Can you speak to the claim that he's made repeatedly in multiple interviews that if you are a felon and you're on probation and you already have a strike on your record, that being caught in a car with a gun is no big deal?
I mean, that's it. He thinks it is no big deal. I mean, I want everybody to think about that. First off, he talks so much about trying to prevent gun violence. He can care less about gun violence. He doesn't care if felons are in possession of firearms, because presumptively he gives them probation. Presumptively he doesn't send any of them to prison. Presumptively they all get zero bail, so they just get released. Do you know 17-year-olds in possession of firearms, especially ghost guns, they just get released also, and we don't even charge them under George Gascon's policies. And so you have individuals who are gang members who possess firearms, who have a record spanning over 10 years. He thinks that individual deserves probation. He thinks that individual should be released. He thinks that individual is nonviolent. He does not care about gun violence. He does not care about enforcing the laws we have here in California. He doesn't care about the gun allegation. He doesn't care about the gang allegation. He doesn't care about felons in possession of firearms. There's so many different firearm allegations he doesn't care about. Do you know if you're a felon in possession of a firearm, he's going to release you on zero bail. And then if you commit another crime, he's not even going to allow us to charge the out on bail enhancement. This is the type of DA we have here in Los Angeles. This isn't a reform. He does not care about anybody committing actual violations of the law. When he talks about gun violence, he only talks about it sort of in a national way. But everybody needs to say to George, George is not the DA of the United States of America. He is the DA of Los Angeles. He needs to do his job here in Los Angeles and stop tweeting about things that are going on nationally. He can't even do his own job here in Los Angeles. So I'm not sure why he's even tweeting about anything else that's going on in the United States, because he's already failed doing his job here.
We're speaking with John Hatami, who is a Los Angeles County Deputy District Attorney. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan Hatami. John, if we're going to be successful with this effort to recall George Gascon, we'll need a majority of people in Los Angeles County to get behind that effort at the ballot box. One of the disturbing aspects of all of this that I've seen so far is whenever some horrific crime happens and the victim is fortunately able to survive the attack, and they go on the news and they talk about it, you get some variation of the same story, which is, I largely agree with George Gascon on crime and justice. I voted for George Gascon, but he made a situational error in my particular case, and I'm very angry about it. They don't seem to understand that this guy has very bad ideas on how L.A. County should be policed and how criminals should be prosecuted. I've seen that time and time and time again, including the woman with the baby that got run over in Venice. If we have to rely on everyone in Los Angeles County, or at least a majority of voters, to be the victim of some kind of crime to see the light, we're all screwed.
No, I mean, I think you're right there, John. I mean, I guess the way I look at it is that I've been for 18 months fighting this guy, you know, through the first recall, through the second recall. And I've tried to tell people, why do we need to wait for somebody to get hurt or injured before we do something about this? I think people need to look inside and say that, you know, if you really care about public safety for your families and for your children, why do we have to wait for somebody to get hurt or get killed before you actually step up and say this person is a bad person? George Gascon is a bad person. He is not a good person. He also doesn't have good ideas. I think most of us want to improve areas in the system, but that doesn't mean just disregarding public safety. That doesn't mean not following the law. That doesn't mean not prosecuting crime. The DA's number one job is to prosecute crime and to make sure that our communities are safe. And so I think people need to realize that's the job of the district attorney. And so I hope people start looking at this community and look at people in this community and say, we don't want people to be victims of crime. And they need to feel empathetic to the people that are victims. And I hope then people who vote also look who they're voting for. If you are running for district attorney and you don't know anything about that job and you've never prosecuted one case and you've never sat in court and dealt with a victim who was molested or who was assaulted, if you've never taken a case from beginning to end, if you've never filed a case, you should not be the elected district attorney. If you want to be a public offender or defender, you should not be the elected district attorney. If you don't want to follow the law, you should not be an elected district attorney. So I think people need to realize that we can be compassionate, and I am, but we also have to make sure that our number one job is public safety and protecting the public. So I hope people rise up. I hope they say to themselves, we do need a district attorney who believes in public safety. And I don't want to be somebody who has to be a victim of crime before I step up and say George Gascon is a bad person. He's just not a good person. And he got so much money, John. You know, he got $5 million from George Soros. He got $12 million altogether. It's hard to beat that. And so people need to do their research. Just because you have the most money doesn't mean you're the best DA. We should vote for people who are good people. And George Gascon is just not a good person.
Last question before you go. Whenever he's asked about crime in Los Angeles, George Gascon acts as if he's being singled out and picked on, and highlights the fact that crime is up everywhere else. It's up in counties in California with tough-on-crime prosecutors. Why aren't you focusing on them? In California, one out of four people live in Los Angeles County. It's the largest county in the entire United States. If something bad happens in L.A. County, it impacts every other county around it, neighboring states, all over the place. He never likes to talk about that. We obviously have Prop 47, Prop 57 that impacts the entire state, and there's nothing those tough-on-crime prosecutors can do about that because that's a state law. But as a resident of Riverside County, I can tell you that whenever something bad happens and they report on it in the news, and you look in the newspaper and they put the address of the criminal or the suspect, I guess, at that point in time, it's very frequently a Los Angeles County address. If something bad happens in L.A. County, you can have the best prosecutor in the world in Orange County or Riverside County or San Bernardino County or Ventura or Kern or wherever, but it's going to spill off into all of these neighboring communities, and there's no way to stop it. Your thoughts on that point?
Here's the thing. I know Cindy Zimmer, who's the elected district attorney of Kern. I know Lisa Smitkamp, who's the elected district attorney of Fresno. I know Mike Hesserin, who's the elected district attorney of Riverside. And I know Todd Spitzer, who's the elected district attorney of Orange County. These are all really, really good district attorneys, and they're fighting very, very hard for their community. They also do not like and do not support George Gascon and George Gascon's policies, because crime has no boundaries. It goes into different communities and into different areas. And as far as George goes, you know, this is the type of person he is. He's not a leader. He doesn't know how to lead by example. He doesn't know how to lead from the front. If you're the district attorney, you need to accept responsibility if you're running a community that's lawless and a community that you don't hold anybody accountable. When murderers are cheering you and toasting you, and child molesters are cheering you and toasting you, George, you have a problem. You need to fix that. George is responsible for making sure that he's enforcing the laws in Los Angeles and making sure he's protecting the public. He is the top cop. He's failed to do that. He's responsible. So George needs to stop talking about all these other communities, because they don't like him either. And they're upset that his policies have affected their areas and their communities as well. And so there's a lot of communities all around Los Angeles and everybody here. And so for me personally, I'm raising my kids here. And he's not protecting my kids, and he's not protecting your kids. And he's responsible. And so he has allowed the policies that he has to infect the whole entire community, and now made our entire community dangerous, lawless, and there's just no accountability anymore. And so George needs to stop whining and needs to start accepting some responsibility for his actions. And he needs to start doing something about it instead of tweeting or going on press conferences or dealing with Instagram. He needs to actually do his job. Go to the office every day, start working, open up a file, and actually walk into court and do something about it.
John Hatami, Los Angeles County Deputy District Attorney. You can get him online at recalldageorgegascon.com and follow him on Twitter at Jonathan Hatami. John, thanks so much for stopping by.
John, thank you so much.
If you want to email the show, you can do so at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. That's johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. Let's go to Pam. Pam, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hello. I thought that maybe I could do a little impersonation for you of George Gascon. You know, I'm the DA for Los Angeles, and I'm not very good at my job, but, you know, they pay me well, and, you know, I've been a police officer for 25 years. But I thought that maybe I might be able to have a second job as a voiceover for Kermit the Frog Hispanic version. That's what I was thinking.
District Attorney Gascon, but, you know, what do you have to say to the critics of your policies?
I have nothing to say other than, you know, I've been a police officer for 25 years, and that should say something. And, you know, I really think that I know that I've been a police officer for 25 years. That's, I don't really want to have any other conversations right now, because, you know, I'm an important person, and that's the way it stands. You know what I mean?
Now, D.A. Gascon, Jussie Smollett attended the BET Awards over the weekend. If you were a member of the Academy, would you have voted to give Jussie Smollett an award?
Jussie Smollett is the most amazing person on the planet.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Brilliant at what he does. You know, he did this whole thing with the scene, and he did a really good job, and I like the guy. I think he's funny, and I think he's a good citizen and represents somebody for LA. Wait, he doesn't live in LA, does he? But he should. Maybe he does. I don't know.
Now, last question before you go, DA. What do you think of Charlie Manson as a singer?
Oh, Charlie Manson, he's wonderful. He's a hunky dude. You know, he looked really good. If he's still alive, we should let him out. He could be a really good singer right now, you know, maybe sing with Beyonce, do a tune or two with them or something. I don't know. He could be good. Don't you think?
All right. L.A. County District
he's
Attorney.
He's also handsome.
George Gascon.
No problem.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pam's got some improv chops.
Oh, dear. L.A. City Councilman Meth Bonin has chosen not to run for re-election, so he'll be getting replaced on the L.A. City Council in his district, which is Venice, Mar Vista, coastal Los Angeles, all the way up to Pacific Palisades. In fact, you know, yesterday was Sunday. I bet you didn't know that Meth Bonin is a very religious man.
I did not know that.
You know what his denomination is?
What's that?
Crystal Methodist. I think he worships with Hunter Biden.
Oh, he's still on drugs. He's dealing drugs and sleeping with teenagers in encampments.
So as he's wrapping up his tenure on the LA City Council, he is often asked to reflect back on his term of destruction. And all of us have certain regrets in life, things that we wanted to do that we didn't do for one reason or another, and we wish we had done them. For some people, it's that they didn't spend more time with their family. For other people, it's that they didn't, I don't know, travel more and relax more and reflect more. For Meth Bonin, his main regret on the LA City Council is that he didn't ruin Pacific Palisades 2. He spent a lot of time working very diligently to ruin Venice and ruin Mar Vista, and he was very successful in his pursuits. However, he didn't set aside the same work ethic at ruining Pacific Palisades that he did for those other two parts of town. And he wishes, in his heart of hearts, that Pacific Palisades was a sewage treatment facility too.
Here is the tail end of Meth Bonin's passionate speech to get his colleagues to vote on a affordable housing development in Venice.
I just want to close by noting that we live in a segregated city. We live in a city that is segregated racially. We live in a city that is segregated economically.
Where's he going with this?
Oh, boy.
Most of the communities in my district, most of the communities on the west side, have not had a 100% affordable housing project built in decades.
He understands it's the west side, right?
Very expensive to do that there.
In decades. With the notable exception, I want to say, of the community of Del Rey, which coincidentally is one of the lower income communities on the west side. Just a couple months ago, the first 100% affordable housing project in Venice since 1998 was opened on Rose Avenue. I have been busting my tail to make sure that the West Side does its part and builds affordable housing.
Why?
That's his district with his constituents whose lives he is actively trying to ruin.
Well, maybe this all makes sense now. The reason the Meth Bonin sets the homeless loose in Venice, it's not because he doesn't care about the bums. He's trying to lower property values so Venice can be affordable for everybody.
Oh, he has all of us in mind.
We broke ground and will soon open a second. We broke ground a few months ago and are opening a second 100% affordable housing project in West LA. We just opened one in Mar Vista. We are breaking ground in December in Westchester. We have 100% affordable being built on VA property in Brentwood. One of my biggest regrets leaving office in a few months is that we will not have managed to get anything 100% affordable built in Pacific Palisades.
That's the big regret after 8 years of destroying the West Side.
But this is a project in Venice, a community that was once economically vibrant and economically diverse, which has been gentrified within an inch of its life. And this will begin to continue to provide much needed affordable housing in that community. And I ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
See, the real villain is gentrification. And the only way you solve gentrification is by letting the bums poop all over your neighborhood.
Oh, yes. And the candidate who he wants to replace him on the city council finished first, by the way, in the election. Didn't win outright, so there's going to be an election in November, but he finished first. He's a civil rights lawyer named Aaron Darling. Wait, is it a man or a woman?
It's a man, but it's the female spelling of Aaron, E-R-I-N. It's really weird. But I guess you could be anything in California these days.
And Aaron with an E, like Liza with a Z, is running on the platform of decriminalizing homelessness. So that means that the voters of Venice and Mar Vista and Del Rey and Pacific Palisades have the option in November of going from the frying pan to the homeless encampment started fire.
Can't get over that. This is Meth Bonin's biggest regret.
One of my biggest regrets leaving office in a few months is that we will not have managed to get anything 100% affordable built in Pacific Palisades.
Does he understand the point of rich neighborhoods like Pacific Palisades? You pay that premium so you're not around anybody else.
Randy, you're monitoring the mailbag over at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. What do we have?
Well, this one comes from Jeff. The title is Meth Bonin. Fellas, don't forget Westchester. Old Meth has managed to F that one up as well.
I can verify that. I played golf over at Westchester Golf Course. It's a municipally owned golf course over by the airport, which if you hit an errant ball, it ends up in Terminal 4 over at LAX, bouncing around the Cinnabon. And there are homeless encampments all around the golf course.
Oh, at one point, they were on the golf course.
Okay, I know there's a lot of sticklers out there for the rules in golf. People are very persnickety about that. What happens if you hit a homeless encampment and the ball goes in the encampment, but it's not technically out of bounds? What are you supposed to do? Drop a ball? Treat it like it's a water hazard?
Play it as it lies.
It lands right in between some homeless guy's eyes, right there on the bridge of their nose. You're supposed to hit a 7-iron? That just seems like a mistake. What if it goes actually into a container of narcotics? What are you supposed to do with that? Drop it one club length away? I don't think they thought about this over in Scotland when they created the game. What do you do if there is human feces on the golf course because there's a homeless encampment there? What's the ruling?
Knowing the way you shoot, what if you have a long drive and it actually ends up in the encampment and breaks somebody's meth pipe? Are you liable for that damage?
I don't know. I would love to see a tournament over at Westchester Golf Course on the Golf Channel. Well, it looks like they went into the encampment again. This encampment has multiple drug paraphernalia, piles of it all around. And it looks like the Titleist is somewhere in the middle of all that. What would you hit, Raj? It's 154. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.